Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Okay, so welcome back to Whiskey Congress. This is our bonus episode. We're going to talk about sports and talk about me losing a bet. Fine, I lost the fucking bet. So we had a bet, we had a disagreement about what the actual nature of the bet was, but regardless, we don't disagree that what I said
you
did
lost
not,
it,
I
did, so it was right. Your responsibility to go back because we did it on the air.
Okay.
It was your responsibility to go back.
I know what I intended to bet on, and I know that I was wrong.
Okay.
So I was wrong, you were right.
Just
I
lay
said
out the parameters.
Kevin Durant would not get a max deal this year, so he would stay on the Golden State payroll, get paid $31 million to rehab his Achilles tendon, because no one's going to pay a guy a max deal when he's on the shelf for an entire season. Well, the Brooklyn Nets proved me wrong. They gave him a four-year, $141 million deal. Is that correct?
$141 million?
Yep. And they also signed Kyrie to a max deal, Kyrie Irving.
Mm-hmm.
So they signed two of the top 10 players in the league right now? Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean,
top 15, whatever.
Top 20 players in the
right.
league.
Okay.
And
monster contracts, one of whom will not put on a pair of sneakers, whether they have a flag on them or not, for the Brooklyn Nets this year.
Right. And I didn't see it. I didn't see Kevin Durant going to the Nets. I assumed it was going to be the Knicks. But the Knicks managed to screw that up.
They could fuck up a two-car funeral.
Man, it's unbelievable. I didn't see that coming, but okay, fine. It's the Nets. But somebody was going to sign him, and he was going to take the money. He wanted out of Golden State. The injury didn't matter. Like,
I thought it would.
You thought it would, and my argument is what Brooklyn was thinking. Kevin Durant at 85% is better than 95% of the league, period.
And that's
so
true.
It's just one of those things where the nature of the league, where the money is at, how players are moving, there was nothing that led me to, like, there was no reason. And I don't even know if Golden State would have done that, right? I mean, I don't even know.
I doubt they would. Could they?
They could have re-signed him, but why the fuck? Like, because Kevin Durant clearly wanted to retest the waters of free agency, right? He did it once, went to them. And there was obviously some, you know, mistrust with him and the doctors. And then there was the whole thing with him and Draymond Green and, you know, just his whole weird quirkiness himself and his burner Twitter accounts. So it was just, you know, it made
I forgot
sense.
About the burner Twitter accounts and he used the wrong one. So just tell people what happened or I will.
Well, he had this fake Twitter account and he would get into fights with people who talk shit about him, right? Whether it was people in the media or just random
Joe
basketball
Schmo, right?
fan.
Yep.
And somehow somebody was able to figure out that it was really Kevin Durant.
Oh, you don't know how they figured it out?
I don't know how.
He once tweeted from his actual account.
He,
like,
oh,
he
that's
made,
right.
He
yeah.
maintained an argument, but in his verified
yes.
account. And they went, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Classic
yes.
fuck up.
I love it.
Classic fuck
I
up.
I love it. I love it. I mean, and it's, and listen, I get it because, I mean, I have our account. I do
sure.
most of the stuff on Twitter for us.
Right.
And then I have my own personal account. And I, you know, I go back and forth and there have been a couple of times.
I did that once with that sports journalist from Buffalo.
Yeah. Yes.
I got into a fight with him from Whiskey Congress and
I've
were pissed.
I was like, what the fuck? And then, I've done it a couple of times, like nothing salacious or anything like that. Although I think there have been a couple of times I've followed some questionable people.
Yes. Yes, you have. Now I followed O.J. Simpson.
You followed
O.J.
Simpson.
Which I offer zero apology for, by the way.
Mine was a little bit different. I followed
porn
certain
stars, I think.
Yes.
No, you DM fucking Stormy Daniels.
Well, but that was, I wanted her to come on the show.
I would love to have her come on the show.
I DM'd Stormy Daniels to come on the show. That
okay.
was legit. Like,
okay.
I figured out, like, why not?
I only found out about it when it came up on the show, though.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it wasn't a point. Like, I mean, like,
fair,
I wanted to
fair,
do it,
fair,
and then
fair,
if there was
fair.
Any traction, then let's do
oh,
it. But
Stormy, you're still welcome.
Right. I mean, she's more than welcome. I just feel like the more I think about it, I just feel like Ohio's not her thing.
Right.
Because
us,
she was arrested
us,
here.
Call us from California.
True, true. But, yeah, the burner accounts are hilarious. Now, that being said, I told you. I told you.
You did, yeah. We both put our money down. So we said roughly a $75 bottle of whiskey. is owed by the loser of the bet. I lost the bet. I have not purchased the whiskey yet, but I will. I'm a man of my word. But, all right, so we're through that. Now, speaking of the NBA has gone through a major overhaul this week. So Kawhi Leonard leaves Toronto, where he just brought them their franchise's first championship, and signs with the LA Clippers, which, having spent a bunch of time in Southern California, I kind of like the Clippers. First of all, the Clippers franchise was the... It is now the Los Angeles Clippers. It was the San Diego Clippers before that. And before that, it was the Buffalo Braves. So when Buffalo had an NBA team, that franchise eventually became the LA Clippers. So when I was out there, the Lakers were all the shit, and they stunk. I was very much, you know, kind of on the bandwagon. It was the Clippers were kind of the, you know, the regular Joe's basketball team in LA, because in order to get a ticket to a Lakers game, you had to, you know somebody or make a shit ton of money, because that was a very, very tough ticket to get. So with Kawhi going to the Clippers, and then who else went to the Clippers today?
Paul George.
Paul George. Oh, geez, yeah. So Paul George goes there.
Right.
Not a bad ball player himself.
Right. And I guess Kawhi wanted Durant to go with him. Durant was like, no, I don't want to go there with them. So Kawhi immediately turned his attention to Paul George, as the story goes. And somehow they pulled this off to get Oklahoma City. And I think Oklahoma City's issue was, all right, we've had Paul George and Russell Westbrook together for a couple seasons now, and we haven't seen much out of it, right?
Right.
So, I even heard that there's rumors that Oklahoma City may be shopping Russell Westbrook as well. So, I mean, like, you could really see, you know, that would be another monumental shift, because that eliminates Oklahoma City as any sort of threat.
Sure.
It completely, right now, I mean, like, so now, all of a sudden, you've got two teams playing in the same building that went from kind of irrelevant to possibly dominant.
Right.
You've got a Warriors team that's not going to have Klay Thompson next year. They've lost Boogie Cousins. They've lost Kevin Durant. They lost
Boogie Cousins to the Lakers.
Right.
Which also just happened.
Right. And they've lost Kevin Durant. So next year, it's just Steph and Draymond Green in Golden State. So they traded Andre Iguodala.
Who did re-sign with them? I thought Klay Thompson re-signed with them.
Klay Thompson did, but he's injured. He blew out his ACL.
Okay.
So Klay Thompson's not going to be there next year.
He's another guy who signed a big deal with a serious injury.
Signed a big deal. And he signed to stay.
Right.
Right, but he didn't do that, you know, like the one-year option.
Right.
And so, the landscape of the NBA is completely different. Right, and then Kawhi, like, so you're looking at it, and you're like, all right, well, Kawhi, if you stay in Toronto, maybe you can repeat. But no, he goes out to LA. So now, chances are, you may have a completely new NBA championship, new NBA champion 2 years in a row, right? Like, so because for the longest time,
shouldn't be a big deal, but it kind of is.
Well, I mean, because Golden State has been so dominant, sure, and the only team to beat Golden State
was the Cavs. Cavaliers.
Right, and that was back in 2016. Other than that, it's been the Golden State Warriors. Then it was Toronto. So theoretically, next year you could have, for the first time, you know, three different NBA champions in a row, right? Like Golden State, Toronto, and now
whoever, right?
Right? Could be the Lakers,
which is probably good. Which is probably good for the NBA, because
it is good for the NBA. You know,
as much as we love the Cavs run, which we both did, we talked about it many times. I think the country, the NBA fan base, was sick of Cleveland's going to run through the East, and the Clippers, Golden State's going to run through the West, and then we'll see what happens when those two meet again. It's probably good for the league, and the fact that there's two teams in LA that, as you brought up, were pretty mediocre for the past couple seasons, and maybe I'm being a bit generous calling them that, now are probably the front runners. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Front runners in the West.
As it stands right now, I think so, right?
Yeah. And I mean, DeMarcus Cousins going to LA, I think, is interesting, because they've already got Anthony Davis.
Well, it's so you're going to have a huge, huge front court, right? I mean,
LeBron, like, Cousins, and Davis, yeah.
Because you're probably playing LeBron at the 3, Davis at the 4, and then you're playing Boogie at the 5.
Right? But the five doesn't mean what it used to mean.
It doesn't
right?
matter, but you're still playing him at the
yeah,
five.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's still, you know, sure. I mean, like, I get it that it changed.
Well, it's not going to run through him, but still. No, it's but not. You're right.
still playing him He's at the, but that's how you're going to do
that
it.
Position, sure.
Right, because Anthony Davis is just such a unique talent in and of himself. He's 7 foot tall, can shoot from three, but can dominate inside, but can, you know, have a decent mid-range. Just
throw it down, yeah.
Right, like, so, and, but he's got a decent shot from that, you know, that mid-range area. So, I mean, it's going to be now. The other issue the Lakers have, they don't have a ton of money. So who is going to bring the ball up? Right.
Well, LeBron does. Could,
but
yeah.
I mean, you're still going to need a couple guards.
Yeah.
And a
yeah,
bench. You're going to need a couple guards and some guys on the bench. So I mean, there's
going to be four guys making the NBA veteran minimum.
Right. I'll volunteer.
Me too.
I'll volunteer.
I can cheer on LeBron. Very well.
I'll go out there and foul somebody.
One of us has cheerleading experience.
That's true.
All right. Snuck that in there. Don't know
it's not
why.
Me.
Not, and it's not you. So anyway, yeah, interesting week in the NBA. And then we were out having a beer and a shot or two the other day, and I'm watching Wimbledon. And I see this black woman celebrating a victory, and I had no idea who she was. Her name is Coco Gauff. And I'm watching her win. She had just gotten to the round of 16. And they showed her age. She is 15 years old in the round of 16 at Wimbledon, which I find mm-hmm. fucking amazing. Now, as I was going off, like, that's incredible. They put up a stat. And there have been, like, six women under 16 since the late 90s who have gotten to the round of 16 in Wimbledon, you know, at that age. So it is not as earth-shaking as I was originally treating it as, because I was just in awe of the fact that this girl was doing as well as she was. And sometimes people will say, you call her a girl, she's a woman. This person is a girl. She's 15 years old, and she is in the final 16 of the most prestigious tennis tournament, one of the four most prestigious tennis tournaments in the world. I think that's awesome. There have not been a lot of male or female tennis players to really, you know, capture the stage and you know, catch people's attention in a long time. And this girl could be the next one. So I'm kind of excited to see where it goes.
I am excited to see where it goes. And I think there's a broader socio-political statement here. You know, Venus and Serena were so transcendent. Right, I mean,
sure.
Two black girls that are, they're dark skinned, they're unapologetically black, they embrace who and what they are, and have just been amazing for tennis
right.
as a whole, amazing for U.S. tennis, and specifically for black girls that want to play tennis. And you've seen for the United States the last couple of girls. That have been, you know, kind of thrust into the spotlight because of their, you know, ability to play, whether it's at the U.S. Open or Wimbledon, like the last three or four have been, you know, black girls
the Williams are so dominant for so long.
Yes, but what I'm saying is...
Is she biracial? I don't even know.
No, she's black.
Okay.
She's black. Then there was... Oh my God! I watch some women's tennis, but not a lot. But the last three girls, I think, that have really kind of their name that have been very competitive lately have all either been, you know, black or biracial or something along those lines. But something that you weren't seeing in tennis 20 years ago,
right?
Right. Now, mind you, the Williams have been around for
almost
20 years.
Yep.
But so we'll say 30 years, you know, back when it was Steffi Graf and it was Martina Hingis and it was
sure.
Chris Everett.
Before those girls.
But, you know, when the highlight of tennis was, who was the one girl who never won? Martina Navratilova? No.
No. Anna Kournikova.
Anna Kournikova and the other one, the tall blonde one that got suspended for doping or whatever.
Tall. Martina Hingis?
No, not Martina Hingis. She was, oh my God.
I mean, Anna Kournikova was a perfect example
she was, right,
of just, you know, She was there because she was just plain hot. So
Maria Sharapova.
Yes, Maria Sharapova.
She was the other one. And now Maria Sharapova was a relatively effective player.
Yeah.
You know, I think she won a couple of, you know, big tournaments, but that's what tennis was for a little bit, right? It's just like, all right, let's just focus on whoever's the most attractive, and that's how we'll sell the sport. And then the Williams sisters come in, and they just dominate, right? Yep. It's just like, I don't give a fuck what you look like. You are just killing it, right? I mean, no one could return their serves. You know, no one could just match their overall strength and athleticism, and they dominated.
And they're one of the weird cases where Venus comes along first and dominates.
Yep.
And there have been so many times in sports history where an athlete comes on and just is phenomenal, and then they have a sibling, and everyone says, well, they're even better than so-and-so. And they're not.
But Serena
actually was.
Right. Like, she's like, and her father, their father said that, had said a long time ago that Serena was the better one and just wait till she gets old enough. And he was right.
Right. And but you know, they get said all the time, right? I mean,
yeah, no, Wayne Gretzky
had a brother.
Okay. That's fine. That's way off the point. So what I'm trying, but the point is that, you know, Serena is still one of the most dominant players in the world, right?
And the most accomplished tennis player ever. I'm not going to redo the whole female tennis player ever, but in terms of career accomplishments, she is the most accomplished tennis player in history.
Right. And, you know, the girl that...
Coco Gauff?
Coco Gauff. She actually beat Venus. Right? Which is really interesting, right?
Venus is 40?
Yeah, I mean, I think me and Venus are around the same age. Right. So, okay. I mean, or she's got to be close to it.
Late 30s.
She's somewhere between 38 and 40.
Right.
But, you know, that's interesting. One, I think, Venus, why don't we just go ahead and use this as a passing of the torch and be done?
You know, I disagree with you. Why? If you're I understand what you're saying, but if you're Venus, you're like, fuck it, I'll go out when I'm done.
I don't know. I mean, she get paid for losing in the first round?
Yeah, she gets paid something.
Oh, okay.
But I guess, you know what? I mean, I'm just saying, Venus, do you. If you want to go out there and play, it's merit-based.
Come on, man. I mean, how many athletes have you seen? Yeah, but still, she was a great player. She's not a great player right now.
Apparently not.
I'm not sure when the last time she's been in contention for anything.
It wasn't that long ago. It was within a couple years.
It's been a while since Venus has been in contention for a major...
I thought she made a deep run a couple years ago, but...
Okay, fine, but a couple years ago, she's approaching fucking 40,
right?
Like, just fucking hang it up.
Ageist.
Fine, I don't care. Like, that's sports.
It's about sports, but I'm saying, don't hang it up. Just, you know, play as long as you want to play, especially tennis. You're not getting hurt playing tennis too long, right? It's not like boxing, right? When people stay too long at the fair at boxing, they get their brain scrambled.
You get your brain beaten. That's fair, but I mean, in football, and okay. But I don't know. I just hate to see it. I mean, I just would kind of like her just to kind of like stop. Like, she has so much to offer to the game outside of playing.
Okay.
I think, and just in general, right? I mean, these girls have a shit ton going on. Between Venus and Serena, they got fashion lines.
Yeah.
Well, so there's stuff, and I think that there's more she can offer to the game not playing. Being one of the all-time greats, you know, she could really offer a lot of perspective, and I think it would be good to have her, right? Like, everyone who talks about tennis right now, everyone who talks about tennis on TV is white, right? Like, that's another place where she could kind of break a barrier and be the
analyst
a person that comes with the perspective of a black athlete, which I think is different, especially in a sport that's dominated by white people.
Yeah.
Right. Like, she could really bring a different perspective. So why don't you come to this side, stop getting beat by 15-year-olds and do it.
That 15-year-old is beating a lot of people.
Fair. But I mean, that 15-year-old wouldn't have beaten 25-year-old Venus.
I will say probably not.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. I mean,
it's lack of knowledge. I don't know how Coco Gauff's game is.
Okay, but Venus, can we agree that her game isn't what it was?
Oh, absolutely. Of course.
All right. Okay. So, all right. But her sister Serena, who isn't that much younger, is still very, very effective.
Yep.
Right? I mean, like, she has her breakdowns in her game, but, I mean, she's still good for two fucking grand, or two, you know, major titles a year, right? So, I mean, she just had a baby
right.
a year ago.
Which is one of the weird things about women's sports, right? I mean, Serena is the first athlete I know of to have a child and then come back and compete at the highest levels again.
Right.
I mean, maybe it's happened in the WNBA. Sure, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, you know, golf, I'm sure, right?
I can't think of anybody. You're probably right, but I can't think of anybody.
I don't know. I mean, I don't
pay enough. Because no one pays attention to women's golf.
I don't know anything about women's golf, but I'm sure.
I know Michelle Wee does not have any kids, nor has she competed for a title.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know women's golf. So
yeah, the only reason I said that because I can't name another current women's golfer. Okay. Or even if Michelle Wee's still current, to be honest with you.
Okay. We're going down a way we don't need to go.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we are. But, listen, good for Coco Gauff. Excited for her. I think it's a good thing of what we're seeing, right? And it just, you're seeing diversity in the sport. You're seeing, you know, people jumping into a sport that 30 years ago, those people wouldn't have jumped into that sport. And that's what trailblazers do, right? And for me, that's cool to see, right? There, you know, there were people who got to see Muhammad Ali. They got to see Jim Brown. They got to see these people who came in and said, we're going to change the face of the sport, right? Well, for me, that's that Venus and Serena.
Sure.
Right? Like, they came in and they said, listen, all you had before was Arthur Ashe and, I don't know, I'm going to say Dorothy Dandridge. But
I don't know of a female black
tennis player. Right, but I mean, like,
there were a few.
But
Yannick Noah.
Right,
Joaquin Noah's dad.
Yeah, but I mean, like, people to come in and truly dominate and change the sport to the point, like, and I've got three, right? I've got, in my lifetime, I've got Venus Williams, Serena Williams, and Tiger Woods.
Right. I was going to make that comparison.
That literally changed a sport completely, right? And immediately almost diversify it and then create, it didn't happen so much with golf in terms of black golfers coming up and being competitive. No, it didn't.
But it did change black people's interest in watching the sport of golf.
Yes, but I mean, but to the point where now we're seeing, you know, and I should know these girls' names, but I know that there are multiple young black girls that are in golf competitive that have been in major tournaments, and they all say, listen, I grew up watching Venus and Serena, and this is all I wanted to do, and now I'm playing against Venus and Serena. Okay. Right, like that in itself, being able to witness that from beginning to now is just, I don't even think I fully grasped it yet, but I think that that's something that really needs to kind of be highlighted. People my age and my generation to say that you were able to witness this and be a part of it for so long and the impact that, like the overall impact of what that means. Someone better than me needs to do a 30 for 30 on kind of the full cycle of this story from Venus and Serena to these new young girls and how dominant they are and how that changes the landscape of not only this sport, but probably just sports in general.
Well, I mean, certain sports have never been white dominated the way tennis has, right? I mean, women's basketball has always been very racially diverse and probably, I'd say, black dominated.
Yes.
And that's fine. It is what it is. But tennis
is... Did you say women's basketball?
I did.
Okay.
Why?
Doesn't matter.
All right, men's basketball too.
Right.
Basketball. But we were focusing on women's sports.
I think Venus and Serena, just when you change a sport like that, that is dominated by one specific culture, and then you come in and you dominate it, and then you bring other people like you into the sport that not only are in it, watching it, and talking about it, but are actually effective in it and garnering news attention, like that kind of, that causes shifts. It's hard to explain, okay. Right? I mean, it's kind of like weather, I guess. I don't know. It caused a shift. Things have shifted.
Yeah. No, I think I have a better perspective of what Tiger did for golf.
Because it did on the periphery, right?
Well, one thing, I play golf. I don't play tennis.
Right, but it did on the periphery. But you still haven't seen, like,
a lot of young black kids coming up.
It's,
I mean, golf's an expensive sport to play. It's a really expensive sport to master.
Tennis.
Yeah, dude. Yes, definitely. not as much as golf.
It's not as expensive as golf.
Because golf, I mean, the equipment is expensive.
But
the,
so are tennis rackets. Have you priced a tennis racket?
I've not.
Fucking tennis balls are expensive. Like right. The good ones.
But to play golf at...
Shoes, uniforms, all that stuff. Lessons.
Understood.
Where you got
to
play?
Understood. Golf's more. Because in addition
to equipment I'm not saying it's not more. It's still fucking expensive.
Yep. Sure.
I mean, hockey's expensive.
Hockey's very expensive.
Baseball's expensive. Soccer is expensive.
Soccer is not expensive.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
To play today, to play today competitively, you can't just say, I mean, because baseball, well, as long as I got a bat and a ball and
a ball. No. But soccer is the simplest game to play.
I'm not saying that, Jim. It's still, you want to play on a fucking soccer team, you got to pay to travel.
If you're good enough, they'll get you there. I witnessed that playing soccer in high school. We did. My
oh,
high,
really?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
My high school was a public school. And we found a way to get a guy onto our team that had no business being there because he was really fucking good, and we had a good soccer program. And
listen,
you don't.
There's always anecdotal bullshit.
Fine,
all I'm saying, it's really like, listen, it's a major complaint amongst parents and amongst people. It's a big issue with U.S. soccer. It's why it fucking sucks because it's cost prohibitive.
No. If cost was such a big deal, why would Brazil be so dominant in soccer?
Jim, here, I don't give a fuck about Brazil. I hate it when you fucking do this. You do that shit because you're on your like you're in your fucking world. Like in the United States, the issue with soccer is to play on the teams it costs. A shit ton of money because they travel all over the country and you're paying for flights and trips and hotels. That's what makes it expensive. That's all I'm fucking saying.
What about football?
Football's not a travel sport.
It's not?
It's not a travel sport. There are some there are 10 teams in the country that travel out of state.
Where did you play high school football? In Youngstown, Ohio. How many states did you play high school football in?
Two. Three?
Three.
We three-hour drive to New York on a school bus.
Pennsylvania. Okay.
Erie, on a school bus.
Okay.
We got McDonald's.
Okay.
We didn't have to pay anything to go on that trip. There wasn't an extra fee. You want to pay on a travel soccer team? That's $1,500 a year to play on, Jim. Like, I'm not making this up. Like, you want to compare me playing at fucking Ursuline going to Erie McDowell, which is... A day trip, you go there, you play, you beat their ass, and you come back. And we did.
Erie. Good for you.
Right? But actually got screwed in St.
Francis. Yeah, I was going to say. Oh, how'd that go out there in St. Francis, New York?
But when they came here.
Whew. Okay, whatever. We're going to go down a bad road here. My point is, I get it.
Soccer is just a ball and a net. Okay, I get it, right? As long as you have shoot, I totally get it. But the cost to play the game here at lower tier in your high school and your travel leagues, it costs these parents crazy amount of money. Same thing with baseball. My cousin my little cousin, right, who's not little. I mean, he's fucking 6'5", 220 pounds.
Okay, little cousin.
He played on a travel baseball team. It drained his mother because of the cost to play, to travel, right? They weren't just going to Erie, which is a 3-hour ride from here. I mean, they're going all the way down to Kentucky. They're going, you know, into Indianapolis. Okay. They're going in that shit cost, and that's what I'm talking about.
Okay,
you can't ignore that just because.
Okay, to develop as a soccer player is so much cheaper than to develop as a golfer or tennis player that it's not.
But it's not fair. You need a coach, right? You need a coach,
sure.
Right? And the best coaches are coaching the travel teams,
right? And if you're good enough,
and it's why soccer fucking sucks.
I don't think that's why it sucks. I think it's because soccer is the 8th most popular sport in this country, if it's that high. If our best athletes wanted to play soccer, we would not suck at international soccer. Our best athletes don't want to play soccer. And, truthfully...
You know why?
Why? Because it's too expensive.
Because it's cheaper to play football.
No, it's not. All right.
Basketball.
So basketball is an extraordinarily cheap sport to learn and play.
But it's also... high school sports in general... The cost has skyrocketed because of the travel factor. Football now becomes one of the cheaper sports to play because you don't have travel football teams that play in tournaments all over the country, right? Like that's not how football works. It's not conducive to that style.
There's no better example than LeBron James. LeBron James, one of, if not the best basketball player of all time, did not have money, but he was so fucking good that
fully agreed, right? But again, he is such a unique person and a unique talent. Like, okay, fine. But he's your shining example. He's a one-off.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? But I mean, there's a...
They find a way to make that happen
for when the you find greatest the one-offs. Of all time.
Well, but we're talking about... You're talking about U.S. men's soccer sucking. We're talking about the top
but
20
in
men
order for in... Your, in entire for your national team to get good, like, you need the... You need national support. Like, you need a giant talent pool to not only push each other, but right. to figure out
sure.
who the best
sure.
talent
sure.
is.
Sure, sure, sure.
Right?
But I don't think money is the biggest... Money is not the biggest barrier there.
Then you... One, you don't understand college sports or high school sports, and you're just refusing... I don't know what your thought process is here. You're just wrong.
I'll explain it. No, I'm...
When's the last time you fucking talked to a high school kid, man? When was the last time you talked to their parents? Like, I've dealt with this multiple times.
Okay.
Like, cost is a major factor that prevents people from playing certain sports.
I'm not saying it's not.
Yes, the fuck you are.
No, you're not listening then. Because what I'm saying is, if you're good enough at soccer...
How are you going to get good enough if you're not playing the sport because it's too expensive?
It's tough for me to get my point across when you keep jumping on me.
I don't give a fuck. You're making a shitty point.
I'm not making a shitty point. If you are good enough, you will get noticed. You will get a chance. And it's way easier in soccer, in basketball, where you don't need a ton of equipment. You don't need to rent a court.
Hey, Mom, I'm a really good athlete. I want to play soccer. Sure, sweetie, let's go to the soccer team and see how much. Oh, it costs $1,500. You are not playing soccer. It costs $400 to play football.
If it's more expensive...
Hey, Mom, I really want to play baseball. All right, cool. Let's go to the baseball team. Oh, it costs $1,000 for you to play baseball. How much does it cost to play football? $200. Cool, you're playing football.
Okay.
That's how it works.
And there's no...
Okay. Wait, how the fuck are you going to get noticed playing soccer? That's my point.
You're all right.
How are you going to get noticed playing a sport that if you can't play it because you can't afford to play it?
And I'm saying the barrier to entry in soccer and basketball compared to the other sports we're talking about is so much lower. Now, I'm not saying at the high school, you know, the travel leagues, sure, that's expensive. But there's way more to it than that. In high schools, you're not paying the travel fees, are you? You're paying for to be on a travel team. That's a private team. Mm-hmm. To play for a high school, you're playing for a high school.
Where are the college recruiters going? Are they going to high school games or are they going to travel games?
In soccer, more to travel games, probably.
Where
however,
are they going in basketball? Hold on.
High school.
Travel.
High school.
Travel.
Okay. Did LeBron play for a travel team?
Yes.
Did he? Okay. I know that ESPN went to fucking St. Vincent St. Mary's.
He did. He also played for a travel team.
Okay.
AAU.
Which got more national attention?
I don't fucking know. Does it fucking matter? He's
no.
LeBron James.
Right, and I know, and then you're right. I'm bringing up a one-off, but my point, again...
Darius Garland. Who? Darius Garland. Got drafted by the Cavs.
Okay.
From?
No idea.
Okay. Well, from Vanderbilt. His coach at Vanderbilt was his Travel League AAU team coach.
Okay.
That went from AAU to Vanderbilt and then said, I want him. And they recruited him, and he thus landed there. I'm sure that was completely above board.
Okay.
But, I mean, like, that's not uncommon. That's more common now. Like, these AAU coaches are now going from AAU to fucking college, right? Like, that's fucking crazy.
And maybe what I'm trying to articulate, and maybe I'm doing a poor job, is that to develop your skills at golf or tennis is super fucking expensive.
Yeah.
You can't go to a wall and play against a wall and... Get good.
If you want to,
you can get good at soccer or basketball.
I will give you this. Removing outside cost. Just how do you get better at this game? Basic, right?
Yes.
Is what your point
yes.
is.
Yes.
Okay. Right. The cost to buy golf clubs and golf shoes, and then you have to
go to a fucking golf course. Yes.
Okay. Yes, you're right. Tennis. Little bit cheaper, but you're still, I mean, tennis, the
to play
the
against
rackets,
people good enough against you.
Rackets are expensive, you know, the access
to a
place.
Going to a country club is
right.
expensive or a tennis club is expensive,
good.
Yes.
Right. Soccer, you need a ball, you need a few people, right.
Yes.
Baseball, you
That's
need a bat,
point.
A glove, all
well,
those sort of things.
Baseball's tougher because you need those things.
Right,
you also need at least 10 people, so you have
right.
one person batting and 9 people playing the game.
Right. You know, football's tricky because... It's weird how you can
the equipment's
really,
expensive, and to do it at the
right,
legit
but no one
level.
Buys their own equipment. It's
right.
weird, but I mean, like, so yes, but I guess my point is, while you're right, like it's all like playing sports at a young age now has just the cost has increased exponentially beyond inflation.
I don't doubt that.
And
or
so now
that.
Right, so now even your sports where like a soccer, which really shouldn't be that expensive. Is up there with the tennis and the golf because of the cost to travel and, you know, to go to all these places and you know, the cost of the shoe. Like, even, I mean, like, shit. We were just talking about Nike and their $200 shoes. They don't they don't discount the shoes just because they're for high school kids, right? These shoes are still crazy expensive, right? And you have to have them.
Yep.
Right? You have to have them. You can't, you can't even find, like, good knockoff shoe. Like, before, you can go get the Rawlings brand baseball shoes and, you know, if you wanted to play, if you want to cleat. Now, you got to have the Nike Air Force One Albert Pujols Retros.
Do you? Know? Because I know a player who wore Nike shoes, maybe the best player in college basketball this year, highest drafted player in college basketball this year, and his Nike shoe exploded on his fucking foot.
Boom!
So
I never said the shoe was good. Okay. I said it was fucking expensive.
Okay, right. But you don't need it. If he was wearing, if he was wearing Chuck Taylors, he probably would have been better off.
Sure. Maybe.
All right, can we wrap it up on that, or do you want to? Is there any other topic you'd like to go down? This is our sports bonus wrap up. It started off so nice.
It did.
Until you made terrible points, and I had to correct you.
Oh, Jim, you poor misguided kid. Poor unfortunate soul.
All right, brother. This is always, you know what? It's always fun talking to you. The whiskey was good tonight.
It's always good.
And
we've only really had two bad whiskeys: the Lusty Claw and that shit you got from Florida.
And the shit I got from Florida was given to me. The Lusty Claw. I have to own that.
Right.
It's funny how that comes up. We've talked about that whiskey more than any other whiskey we've had.
Jim, I just you taught me with that bottle.
That bottle's fucking amazing.
It is, but it just what was in it was so bad.
And what was it in his con? Ugh. And I jumped in front of that bullet. Ugh. I did Clint Eastwood in. No, he didn't jump.
You probably cured yourself of cancer by drinking that. You probably had a tumor drinking Lusty Claw.
Chemotherapy just said, the cancer was like, fuck this guy. Right, no. He's not worth it.
It's rude.
All right, this is a weird conversation. Anyway, man, always fun. Mm-hmm. Let's shut this down. This is, like I said, bonus stuff anyway, so if you listen to this, we appreciate you very much, and we are out of here. Thank you.
Appreciate you.